All right, let's continue the book of Matthew chapter 6. We are talking about elements of prayer. That is, prayer has different sides, different aspects. There are different things that we must bear in mind in the matter of prayer. And like I said, we'll just be talking about different ones, though we are taking our outline from the book of Matthew chapter 6, the famous Sermon on the Mount, in which Jesus taught a number of things. And the one we are emphasizing is what he taught as prayer, how we are supposed to pray, to the disciples to pray in a particular way. But I want to just read from verse 1 of Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." Now, if you read it further on, you realize that part of practicing of righteousness is a matter of prayer. So one of those practices of righteousness, verse 2, "When therefore you give alms, do not sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do. They do that, that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you." And when you pray, that's another form of practicing of your righteousness. You are not to be in the as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, in order that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they are practicing their righteousness in the open, and for that reason, they have their reward in full. I just added that last line. That's before that very last line, just to explain what he was saying. So notice that the practice of righteousness is not just the giving of alms. It also includes the matter of praying. And if you get down to verse 16, he talked about when you fast, another practice of your righteousness. Do not put on a gloomy face, all right? They love to neglect their appearance so that men will honor them, that this man is very spiritual. He said they have their reward in full. All right? So these are different aspects of practice of righteousness. I just wanted to emphasize that. So one of them is in verse 5. He said, "When you pray, you are not to pray as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, in order that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you," that's verse 6, "when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in heaven, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you." Now, please, let me just emphasize something here. He was not saying that people must never pray outside. Are you getting my point? And we say, how do I know that? You see, he prayed outside a lot of times, and his disciples heard him, and people saw him at the tomb of Lazarus. His prayer was in the open. Do you understand what I'm saying? But he was talking about motive, why people do things. That's what he was emphasizing here. Why are you doing what you are doing the way you are doing it? All right? So if somebody is praying so that people will see that he's spiritual, all right, that is a way of practicing his righteousness in the open, that he may have reward from men. Now, I want to just emphasize something there. That shows that there's prayer that you pray that has reward. There are different kinds of prayer. We're talking about elements of prayer. All right? Now here, this is, you know, I told you about the prayer of faith, all right? Which James said we save the sick. There's a prayer of faith, and we said there are all kinds of prayers that are the opposite of the prayer of faith. And we said as a group, we call them the prayer not of faith, all right? Prayer of unbelief. And one of them, okay, we gave a number of examples. I don't know whether I remember to emphasize this example the last few times we gave examples. It's what I call the prayer of showmanship. You get my point? That is what is here, the prayer of show, all right? The prayer of spiritual display. Okay, but true prayer, is the prayer of faith, is based on relationship. It's based on understanding. It's not based on habit, but it's based on the fact that we know that God indeed answers prayers, and that whatever it is that we want in life will come from him and from him alone. Please, that one is very important. Like I said, let me just leave this emphasis. There's a kind of prayer that has reward as different from prayer that has an answer. When Jesus was speaking here, the main thing I want to say about today, I'll come to it in a moment. When the Lord was speaking here, what he was explaining to them is that these Pharisees pray openly so that people will honor them as people who know how to pray. And we Christians, we still do that. We have a lot of Pharisaical behavior these days. There are so many of them. Like I like to emphasize, because you see, I notice something about people. You tell them something once or twice, they hear something that's more convenient, they drop whatever it is that you are saying. Are you getting my point? If you listen, this is a Pharisaical behavior. If you go to pray and you claim your good works and you quote your good works for God in prayer as the reason why He should bless you, as the reason why He should heal you, as the reason why He should supply to you abundantly, as the reason why He should do anything for you, it's a Pharisaical attitude, and you are walking in the flesh, and from the flesh you will reap corruption. I need to emphasize that, because I hear things that make me laugh. People tell me that how should I have problems because I paid my tithe. Arrant nonsense. If you still repeat that thing, maybe you are backsliding, you don't realize it. There are things you should not say. You pay your tithe or not, you can have problems. You hear my point? Nobody lied to you, okay? Those are Pharisaical attitudes to doing things. People say that, look, when you have given, tell God, my money is in that project. It's a lie. That kills the power of your seed. I need to emphasize that to people. Please, that's very important. If you start quoting your good works for God when you are praying, whatever potency they have, they died there. Did you hear what I said? Christians must do good works. If you are not a good work doer, you don't have faith. Now, listen, let me give it to you straight. Now, it is impossible, all right, for you to have faith and not be a doer of good works. It's not possible. I've explained this severally, that one major reason, there are many explanations, but one major reason why the widow of Zarephath was able to give to Elijah when he appeared at her doorsteps was not just because she knew how to key into the breakthrough. No, but because she knew how to welcome a hungry man. So whether he was lying or not was besides the point. He was hungry. That's one thing you are sure of. The man is hungry. And a woman of faith is a generous person. But having said that, she doesn't come up to God in prayer and say, you know I fed your prophet when he was hungry. You will feed me too. Then God will lay it before you and show the number of people you did not feed when they were hungry. And therefore you will go hungry too. Alright? You know, I digress into these things, and I know I'm sounding like a broken down record. You know what they call a broken down record? A lot of young people these days, they don't know what they mean. These days, all they have is scratch CDs. I mean, my children will tell you that, oh, this DVD is scratched. You see the thing jumping. Those days, when a record is broken down, it doesn't jump. It keeps reporting back at the same point. It will sing, Jesus, now you be cool, or Gakpat. Jesus, now you be cool, or Gakpat. Angels, now you be cool, or Gakpat. Jesus, now you be cool. You know this. They now use hand. No, a lot of you didn't understand anything. I mean, you now use hand to lift beyond that level. They continue singing. So sometimes I sound like a broken down record. I stay on the same point again and again and again and again and again. I know. The reason is because you need to hear it. I hear things once in a while that make me feel bad. Because people still go back into the works of the flesh. That's what I'm trying to explain. All right, let me sit on my message. The Lord is good. So it's a Pharisaical attitude, all right? I'm talking about a kind of praying, all right? There are different kind of ways by which people behave like Pharisees. Some people we see show off. We do that a lot, trying to show that how much we know how to pray. It is not the amount, I've said this several times. It's not the amount of words you use in prayer that matters. In fact, Jesus says something. Verse 7, he said, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. Alright? So it's not the amount of words you use. It's not how much you know how to quote scriptures, alright, that really shows whether you know how to pray or not. That's not it. What matters is the faith that's rising from the heart because you are persuaded that God answers you. Last time we talked about the fact that we are praying to our Father who art in heaven. That's what last thing we talked about. Before then, we spoke about the issue of praise, what it means, hallowed be thy name, what it means to call God by his name. We explained the fact that God has different names under different circumstances, and we must learn those names, not for his sake, but for our sakes, all right? Praise does not ever change God. He cannot change. He does not have the capacity for change. The reason being that he's all that he can ever be. If he could change or improve, that means he's not worthy, he's not everything that he can ever be right now, all right? So nothing changes him. Praise doesn't change him. Praise changes us, all right? Praise looks good upon us. We are the ones that are changed by prayer and by praise, which is a form of prayer. What do I mean by that? What praise actually does is to take our eyes away from somewhere else and place it back on God. If you were around on the last few Saturdays, I've been talking about the fact that the Lord said, I am God and there is none else. Remember on Saturday, we talked about the fact that I am the only God in your life and there is no local idol with me. Remember that? I discussed that on Saturday. So that's what praise does. Anytime you focus on that, you automatically, you discover your eyes have gone away from all the lies people tell to you that there are witches lining the way. And then there are the reasons why your car went bad and your car entered into a ditch. My car has entered ditches at least between here and Onitsha, twice that I remember. And in both situations, I still remember how I reacted. And I looked at the Lord and I said, what is my car doing here? Why did you push me in here? I told him like that straight. What are we doing inside here? And at the appointed time, he brought people to help me out of that situation. He's my God and there is no local witch with him. Are you getting my point? Nobody else is helping me control my life. All right? Nobody apart from God. He's the only one that's in charge. Now, when I look at him and I call him by that name, my heart goes into rest. Are you getting my point? It doesn't change God. It changes me. It changes me. When you know, one of the things people do very common in Africa, like I said before, anytime something goes wrong, the first question is, who is responsible? Who, in fact, they have a proverb in my part of the country, which is a very stupid proverb. Are you getting my point? One of those wise sayings that are actually foolish sayings. Do you understand my point? They have a saying that the witch cried last night and the child died today. Who does not realize that it's the cry of the witch yesterday that killed the child today? I want nonsense. Children die every day. WHO will tell you the number of children that malaria kills daily. Witches die, cry every day, if you know what I'm saying. There's not necessarily a link between the cry of the witch and the death of the child. Whether a child dies or not, the witch will still cry. Whether the witch cries or not, children still die from malaria, from diarrhea and vomiting, from HIV infection. They die from all kinds of problems. But the foolishness of the African mind is, now that the child is dead, let's not identify the witch that cried. Are you getting my point? All right, that's just African mentality. But because we understand the praise of God, we understand that only him is our God and there is no witch by his side. Are you getting my point? For those who were not around on Saturday and wondering what we're talking about, go and listen to the sayings of God, number 7. We discussed that was the message of last Saturday. All right, so that's what praise means, all right? Now, so any other kind of prayer, trying to just show off, that's a Pharisaical kind of prayer. That's what I was just trying to emphasize. Let me get back into the main thing we're talking about today. So you see, the Pharisees, what used to happen then, I just need to emphasize this, all right, for us to learn it again. What used to happen is that they used to pray, all right, for the deliverance of Jerusalem. Are you getting my point? I want to just explain to you, because he said they have their reward. Prayers have answers, and answers are different from reward. I hope you understand that. The reward for prayer is not an answer. Answer is a natural consequence of good prayer. Do you understand that? You obviously don't. Reward and answer are two different things. Do you follow my point? Let me explain it. If I tell you now, say, please, can you help me go downstairs? May I tell a young boy? Go there. There's one uncle standing beside my car. Tell him to give you my car keys. And you get there. That is, you ask him, please, pastor say, give me your car keys. And he gives you my car keys. And then you come upstairs with the car keys. You have asked for the car keys. You have gotten an answer. Do you understand my point? All right. But then for running my errand for me, I can decide that, okay, little boy, take this 100 naira and go and buy yourself something. That's a reward. Do you get the point I'm making? Let me give you a very practical example again. If, for example, I'm hungry and I prayed and the Lord sent me food and I ate, that's an answer. That's not the reward. That's not the reward. That's not the reward. You are desperate, you ask for something. But let us assume Israel is hungry. Do you get my point? And I prayed for him that he might get food. Then God sends him food. Is that an answer? Yes. What have I gotten yet? Nothing. But the Lord now turned around and said, for the fact that you have prayed for a man who is in need, even though you stood to gain nothing personally, I will give you one crate of eggs. that crate of eggs is what? A reward. Then look, that what I'm saying is very true. It's very, very correct. All right? That's a reward. That's not an answer. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm going to emphasize something here. When you pray prayers that are not for your personal benefit, when you pray prayers that are for causes and issues bigger than you and beyond your own person, what you get is beyond an answer. What you get is a reward. What an answer may come, this interesting part, it may not come in your generation. Because when you are praying for things that are beyond you, for example, you are praying for a country, you are praying for a nation of people. When I say people now, and when I say nation of people, I mean a tribe of people. You are praying for a whole state. You are praying for the church of God in the world. You are praying for the church of Christ in Nigeria. You are praying for the gospel to move into South America. You are praying prayers that are beyond, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and where with us shall we be clothed? Do you get my point? Now, those prayers, they have some very interesting dynamics. Oftentimes, they don't depend on you alone. What you are doing is that you are contributing your own quota. Because the way God does is that these prayers are added. They are added up before something is released from the heavens. He said, when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. Sometimes before God does things, that's why, let me tell you, don't ever be discouraged. Don't ever be discouraged. Because even though you don't realize it, your prayer is adding up. For example, there are things that, my wife used to do that a lot, you know. You just sit down, just be angry about something, a shortcoming in the body of Christ. You get my point? Why is the power of God not demonstrated like this? Why are we not experiencing this in the body of Christ? Somebody was giving me a testimony of a church today, a very bad testimony. And that thing was grieving me. These are things that are giving the church of Christ a bad name. Are you getting my point? And those things grieve you. You look at the body of Christ. Why is it that, this is when you tune TV, most half of the preachers are begging for money. You understand my point? They are doing good work, but with added begging. Now, some of them are begging because they have no other choice but to beg. And all those things, they concern you, they trouble you. Don't just flip the channel and forget it. Say a word of prayer. Now, I know what I'm saying. Say a word of prayer. Those are prayers that add up. You may not see, you may be a very old man, just as an example. Let's assume you are 85, all right? And you've been praying that prayer for some years. And God said you won't live beyond the age of 92. Do you understand what I'm explaining? And then, but the release, all right, that will accompany those requests that you and many people like you have been making, assuming the release will come in another 10 years. Oh boy, you are going away in 7 years' time. The thing will happen 3 years after you have gone away. But listen to me, you will have participated in bringing it to pass. Even though that answer, you didn't experience it in your lifetime, what God gives you in your lifetime is called a reward. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. He will give you something that will satisfy your soul. He will. He will give you something that you will see and you will be glad. He will. What he does is that he does things for you that are totally unconnected with the thing that you are praying concerning. You are praying for the body of Christ, all right, as a young man, a young woman, and God blesses your children abundantly. You're not praying for them. You're not praying for them. You're just praying for the body of Christ. You are praying for the ministry of the Word of God. You are exerting energy. If you go and read that book, all right, How to Work for God, there's a particular segment in there in which I explain that prayer is work. Go and read it if you haven't read it. Prayer is what? Work. We explained it in there. That's what I was talking about. It's those kind of prayers that you don't have to... Look, if you tell me you're praying for me, I appreciate it. Are you getting my point? But you don't even have to tell me. Are you getting my point? There are people... That one I know for sure. There are people that are praying for me that I have never met. They don't send me emails. Maybe they just watched our program once on TV... they were blessed by our messages, and then they just take it upon them. In fact, the one that used to consent, this is just by the way, I've heard a lot of such people, all right, talk to me, all right, maybe send an email, or they just come and say, I've been praying for you. And usually their prayer point centers around the one thing. Now, God, may this one not change. I don't know whether you get on this thing. May this one not change. There are many that start preaching nice like this after a while. So they pray and say, God, please keep him on course, slap him if necessary, beat him if necessary, but he may not change. I've heard that a lot of times because I don't blame them. People often are concerned. Today I was talking with a friend of mine and he mentioned a pastor's name and I told him, how that man tremendously blessed me at the time. In fact, if I had to count, like say, 5 messages that blessed me in life, that one would be one of them. All right? Most. All right? The one that blessed me most in life. That would be one of them. And then when he began to tell me some of the things that he's also a man of God, things that authoritatively he knew this man was doing, I felt like calling the man and telling him, sir, this is not good. And why did I feel like that? Because in my heart, I was grieved. Not for any other reason than if I remember when this man shared the word of God and it blessed me. And even the man talking, he testified. Something led to it. It wasn't gossiping. Something led to it, all right? Actually, I spoke highly of the person, all right? So I now began, you know him very well. That these are the testimonies he's hearing and it's making him feel bad. Because the man blessed me so much in the past. You get my point? I mean, I was grieved. You know, I really felt bad. Do you understand my point? Now, so those are the reasons why some people pray that kind of prayer. You see, this man of God, God, please, please, let your anointing increase. Let him not go crazy, join the thing that everybody, you know, those kind of things. Now, let me just sit down my message. The main thing I'm saying is that they don't even have to know me. As long as they are doing that, and you are doing it for something, there are different things you can be doing that for. God always, listen to me, always pours a blessing upon you, which in you, look, oh God, I'm digressing again. It's not possible in life, except God opens your eyes to see it, all right? Or it states it clearly in the scriptures, for you not to know the reason why God is pouring a blessing upon you in some areas. The Bible says the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man sows. If a man that goes to sow the seed, let me summarize it in Mark chapter 4. It says, he himself does not know how. Go and read that sermon. I've circulated a number of times and we have a message on it. What I called the switch of God's power. I said it is the continual doing of good works. The Bible says, sow your seed in the morning. And at night, don't stop sowing your seed. He said, because you don't know which one will prosper or whether both of them are like, we do well. This is the application which I'm going to bring out. Sow your seed in the morning. Do good work in the afternoon. Do it at night. You don't know which one is bringing forth what. It is not a correct gospel. Look, I like to teach you so that you will not be confused. I've seen people thoroughly confused. It is not a correct gospel you hear all the time. When a man will stand and say, send this offering, you will get this. He does not have the power to promise it. Let me say to you one more time. Nobody has the power to promise it. You say, what about the widow of Zarephath? Go and check the widow of Zarephath. It was not a promise. It was a statement that thus says the Lord, that food will never finish. It was not primarily predicated upon the fact that that woman gave to Elijah. It wasn't. It was that God had already poured anointing. And that woman would decide whether she believes it or does not by her response. Are you getting my point? That's why the next widow, I've said this severally, please don't ever forget that I said it. The next widow to that woman could not have come with a meal and expected anything. Do you get my point? Sow your seed in the morning. At night, sow your seed. Wake up next morning, sow your seed. You don't know what which brings forth. There are seeds you sow, they are bad. Yes. Why? Because the motive was wrong. The way you went about it was bad. But don't worry. You have, in a day, you have at least 20 opportunities to sow. And like I say to you all the time, I'm just saying this so that anybody's hearing this, we know somebody said it. Listen, I'm saying this so that you will not be discouraged from doing good works. Because many people are discouraged. You all go to churches. All of us go to churches. And it is very common. This is a man will get up and say, in 3 months, this offering you're about to give, if God does not bless you in 3 months, come back, I will refund your money. In fact, I will flog the man if he's my mate. Because you are insulting my intelligence when you tell me that kind of thing. It's an insult on my intelligence. Are you going to give me a receipt? How will I prove to you God did not bless me? Because anybody will just, once I go and say, oh God, 3 months has passed, God has not blessed me. All you need to tell me that you're not alive. No, so? And you have killed all my argument. Well, I'm telling you this, don't be discouraged. So there was a time you sold, you didn't get anything. Yes, I knew you wouldn't get anything. Did I not tell you? But actually, you will get many things. And one of the things you got, oh God, listen to this. One of the things you got as a result of that seed sowing is that you are listening to this message today.
Can I prove it? Yes. Cornelius sold. No, so. What did he get? A visit from Peter. Three of us. After sowing heavily, the angels say, come. This thing won't get you far. Unless Peter preaches to you. So, you sow the seed for a house. God has sent me as a reward for that seed. Hallelujah. The Lord said, I should let you know, that seed will not produce a house. It will produce a gospel. And Banky has been sent to preach it to you. And one of the first things is stop sowing rubbish seeds. That's the first gospel. The one that will produce a house, this is the interesting part, you won't know when you sow it. You will not know. You won't know. That's why Christians must be habitual good work doers. That's how spiritual things work. People have been laboring day and night, sowing seeds for motor car. The more they sow, the more they trek. If they had not sowed by now, they would have bought keke napep. After sowing for so long, what happened? Keke napep did not even show. Thank God for Coast City buses. At least they are air-conditioned. You can brag. I only go around in air-conditioned vehicles. Which kind of vehicle? Nobody knows. It's Coast City. I don't know air conditioned. Yeah. And please enjoy this for a season. All the days before I bought my own air conditioned car, the more lowest and downfalls in Lagos, none of them was air conditioned. The few that had air conditioner, it was fire. You jump out. When the downfall catches fire. You never did that before. Ah, you know, same for Lagos. You go say for just the exit. Bah, 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 bah. Then you see smoke. So that you have Coast City with air conditioner, we must worship. It's a result of the seeds you sowed. Amen? Amen. It did not produce the way you thought it would produce, but it's producing. It's producing. It brought you here today to hear this message. It's producing. It's producing. And it's telling you that you must learn how to sow better seeds next time. How do you sow better seeds? That's where I started from. You cannot tie a seed to a reward. You don't know what it is. You can't. Say, Pastor Banky, but I heard a man say, when I gave out that car, I got a new one. Listen to me. That car he gave out did not produce a new one. They are not related. They are coincidental. The new car he got was for hard work he did 6 years ago, which he has forgotten. The car he gave her 3 weeks ago towards the new one, God took it and said, I won't give you anything back. But he doesn't know. How do I know? Read Mark chapter 4. He said, he himself does not know how. I'm supposed to be talking in prayer. All those of you that have been sowing seed now, look at what you have cost. I hope you are following what I'm saying. If you are following me, say amen. Because it's important we say these things so that people are not confused. Prayer is a seed. There are prayers you will pray for people. And because of that, God will bless your children and your grandchildren. But again, you will not know. You won't know. There are courses you have taken up in prayer. It doesn't really concern you. But the thing is paining you. So you are praying about it. And you're not going around bragging. Praise the Lord, though. Brother Fred, why are you looking so weak? It's fasting. You are fasting. Any problem? No, it's not for me. You know, ever since Pastor preached that message that day about the widows in Morocco, my life has not been the same. So every Tuesday, I fast for the widows in Morocco. How many people will join me in my fast? We must convert the widows in Morocco. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you have your reward. You get my point? I remember a story I heard the man of God tell. So every day, one woman would stand up at the end of church, and you know, the meeting was powerful. He said, oh, you know, this meeting has been so powerful. Because I'm on the sixth day of my fast. How many people are going to join me? The next day, the man of God will come preach, powerful meeting. The woman will get up at the end, I think maybe the pastor's wife or an elder in the church. These meetings have been so powerful because I'm on the seventh day of my fast. How many people will join me? I don't know how I finally did it. I think one day he got up and said, "Madam, you're not talking here today. Sit down." I was taking the glory away from God. You can be sure those are fastings contributed nothing to those meetings. Yes. The ones that really contributed, their pastor will never find out. Maybe one day, the Lord might show him in heaven. Say, "You know, you're a very effective minister." I say, "Yes, that's the person who used to pray for you. That's the person who used to carry all the burdens. That's the person." I say, "Who is he?" "Ah, you will never find out. If I left you on the earth for 1 million years, you will never have met. He does not send emails. He does not write letters. He's just in his own. In fact, he may even be one nice little businessman somewhere. Every night, when everybody has gone to watch soccer, he has returned to the room and is praying. Sometimes he's not even praying for you because he does not know you. He's just praying for the word of God, the move of God in the church of God in the nation. And God has packaged the answer to that prayer inside what is called an anointing, and he has poured it upon you. And you are going around bragging. You know the reason why I'm such an effective minister. Last week, I was in a 16-day fast. Hallelujah. Because if you have been on a 16-day heavy chopping, this anointing will still have moved. Because it's not dependent upon your own fasting. I've seen preachers come. Hallelujah. It's going to be great today. Why? Because God led me into the wilderness. And for the last 40 days, I have only drank water. And that's why my neck is long today to connect to heaven. They only add that one. I mean, just add that one. But the first part, they do have plenty. And God said, "Just shut up and preach." And of course, the anointing really moves. You see, and you see a lot of young boys will disappear into the wilderness. They start fasting. Wah, wah, wah. Fast. Pray. When they come back. Praise the Lord. Now then they collapse. Because they thought it was by power and by their own spiritual might. Why? Because one man who did not know how, gave them a testimony. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what we are saying. So, do your good works continuously. If you want to pray, pray. You can't tie it to anything. Are you getting my point? If you want to give, like keep on saying, hey, if you are not a generous giver, you don't have faith. Forget that one. Do good works. Be a giver. Do good works all the time. Please! Don't buy that doctrine. It's not true that you can tie something to it. Don't buy that doctrine. It is not true. You cannot tie anything to your offering. It's not possible. Please, I'm tired of saying this thing. But I will continue saying it. Because people have just refused to learn. If, in case you think I'm lying, go and buy it. You know, I found a Kenneth Hagin book recently that I had. I didn't even know it was inside there. Midas Touch. That's the name of the book. All right, a balanced teaching on the matter of offerings and all of that. I wasn't planning to talk about this. I don't know how I went into this. I wasn't planning to talk about it. I would have brought it. Okay, he said it in black and white. I didn't even know it was there, except I saw that I underlined it, which means I read it before. It's my book. I bought it many years ago. He said he hears people these days say that you can give your offering a name. Oh, I said, even Brother Hagin said it is wrong. He said he doesn't know where they got those things from. That's definitely not scriptural. And you've heard me teach it also. That is not scriptural. They say, write what you want on that envelope and send it to heaven. It's a waste of time. Anything you want and you want to send to heaven, just incline thy head unto heaven and say it. It's quicker than through the offering basket. What if the postmaster doesn't work on weekends? Just pray your prayer direct. As for the giving of offering, it's a normal lifestyle for a believer. Hey, it's a normal lifestyle. It's like breathing. Are you getting my point? It's like your heart beating. It's like you eating. And like Bishop Oyedepo used to say those days, it's like you going to the toilet. It's normal. It's an usual, habitual thing. If suddenly, for 2 weeks, you no go pee once, you should know there's a problem. You don't think there's a problem? There is a problem. Say, oh boy, when you pee last, oh boy, don't reach 1 week. Oh. Other than your face will be swollen. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, if a Christian is not a habitual giver, there is a problem. But to solve that problem, by now saying, give so you can get, you are worsening his spiritual situation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Prayer is work. Amen? That's what I started all of this from. Talking about work. Prayer is what? Work. The same, listen, the way you take up a course in prayer that does not concern you, you're not bragging about it. Alright? The same way you do that and God pours a reward upon you, in the same manner you give offerings and you are generous and God pours the reward upon you. So you don't know which one produces what. I remember a friend of mine, he's a pastor in this town, said the first car he got, you know how he got it? I'll tell the story around it and my own interpretation. He was a PA to his, minister. I was starting quite a thriving and prospering ministry, at least in blessing people. And he was always going everywhere, helping the man. And then one day he realized, because the way Lagos was, but there are times he would finish and then start going home late at night. He said, one day he told himself that, if only I had a car, I would be able to do this job more effectively. Are you getting my point? Then suddenly one day, along the line, I don't know whether he connected it or not, but somebody asked him one day, I have only seen you anywhere this your car goes, you are there. In the course of chatting, the man found out that you don't have a car of your own. You don't? Come, follow me. He gave him one. It was like Solomon. God said to Solomon, what can I do for you? Solomon said, the work you have given me is heavy. I just want this nation to prosper under my watch. Listen, if somebody can take the message of President Jonathan, if he will pray that simple prayer again today, he shouldn't worry about Boko Haram. You shouldn't worry about north or south, east or west, or anybody. Just focus on God. Under me, this nation must prosper. Righteousness must be exalted. God will give me the kind of wisdom. The whole world will open their mouth. Huh? How does this man get his ideas? God hasn't stopped that business. So. They put you in an office. You know, there's a satanic way of behaving. It's my turn. It's our turn. This country is turn by turn. It's our turn. Now we're all going to be very rich. It's our turn. It is only people from that local government that have been ruling. It is our turn to rule. You will never last. If you last there, it's in distress and headache. That's why people start shooting people. Because God is not establishing them on the throne. Why? God said, look at him. He doesn't understand the purpose for the office. So he sits down there. It's our turn. And all his friends think, yes, it's our turn. Those are, I want to invent another expression. Those are Rehoboam friends phenomena. You understand? That's a new phenomenon. Anybody who gathers around you say, oh boy, it's our turn. It's a Rehoboam friend spirit human being. You understand my point? I'm getting confused with this, my own terminology itself. How do I say problem? Anyway, he has a spirit of Rehoboam's friends, and they always spoil the king and the throne for Rehoboam. Any friend that hangs around is saying, yes, it's our turn. It's our turn. Suddenly they're thinking of allocation of land, building of houses, and all of that. All of you, we fail together. Are you getting my point? Let me tell you the reason why a lot of us can't prosper, that is, we don't have the capacity to prosper. I was preaching one church a few months ago. I said, how many of you believe that American president is enjoying? Oh God, you know, you don't know the depth of ignorance until you become a teacher. Adults, married men and women, and their ignorant children. sat in a congregation. An unfortunate me was preaching. Anyway, it's the plan of God to eradicate ignorance from the body of Christ. I said, how many people, all right, think the American president is enjoying? All the hands went up. You think Barack Obama is enjoying? You are ignorant. That day was talking during a gay meeting. I knew the man was lying to himself, and I was feeling sorry for him. He was saying things he did not believe. He needs prayers. He's not enjoying nothing. There's no enjoyment. Go and watch Bill Clinton after 8 years in office. He grew 20 years older. How some guy like this, when he enter office, hey, Baba. And he come off office. Oh, I don't tire. Who won the election? Take, and they go. But Paul was worn out. Enjoyment. I said, how many people believe the American president enjoyed? They put up their hands. I said, all right. And they thought that, you know, they expected a pastor with fire and brimstone. You too, we enjoy. I didn't say anything like that. I said, how many people believe that the Enugu state governor is enjoying? All those ignorant hands went back up. I said, how many people want to become governors also so that they can't enjoy? All the hands went up again. Hi! I said, all of you, this is why you will never be a governor. Which kind of course be this one? Just by the way, I did that many years ago also. I said, how many people believe that 10% of their income belongs to God? They put up their hands. I said, let me repeat it again. How many of you believe that 10% of your income belongs to God? They put up their hands. All of you have your hands up. You are all thieves and robbers. They look like, what? As any Christian who says 10% belongs to God has claimed 90%. He's a thief and a robber. And I have the scripture to support it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 15. He died for all that he might collect 100% of their income. Is there? I paraphrase it. Go and read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 15. That's just by the way. I said to them, I said, oh, this is why you will never be a governor. The people were amazed. I said, this is a problem with Nigeria. We still think people in political offices are supposed to be enjoying. It is a responsibility. There's no enjoyment there. What am I saying? If you enter into office and your brain is not an enjoyment brain. Okay, I'll say it another way. My friend and I were talking today. He's a pastor. He was telling me things. There was one in where he pastors. They did a major program. Listen to me. And before the program, he prayed to God that, please. It was like God saying, what do you want me to do? That kind of thing. But he just prayed his prayer and said, Lord, I want 100 people to give their lives to Christ who were not Christians before. Are you getting my point? And listen to this. And I don't care whether they come to our church or not. He said when the program began, are you following me? That, let me call it the long story. At the end of the program, when they gave an altar call, 140 people, adults, got up to give their life to Christ. At the 120, 120, either 120 or 140 told me. He said he saw, you know, I've told you that all this one that you need to be persuading people. Do you dream at night? Is there one woman that comes to you, meet you when you are sleeping and wakes you up? You are possessed. He never see. He said this one, he saw demon-possessed people manifest. And he's not into demonology. He said there was a young woman who began to, that he saw demons tear people up and down. He was praying for the girl. She took off, he catch her and bring her back. He said, I told the devil, you are going now today. Today, not tomorrow. Today. That the evil spirit tore the person to pieces like this. He went out by force. The girl's head corrected immediately. I told him something. Now listen. What is happening is this. You have... I'm going somewhere. Let me not forget one part. He said the whole church was excited. This was such a successful program. He now jokingly told some of his men, do you know how much offering we collected? I don't want to tell you the figure. They said, what? It was tiny. It was small. And he laughed. He said, it's good for you people to understand that ministry, I'm adding my own words now, that ministry costs money and it's not a money-making venture. The people were surprised because normally, if you see, look, the number of people that were at the program were over 2,000. Or close to 2,000, if not over. I mean, quite a number of people. And at the end of the day, I told him simply, I said, you see, you know what God did for you? As a preacher, that's what preachers are. That's how they're supposed to think. The Lord essentially asked you, what do you want me to do? I want to win souls. I said, listen to me. The same manner one day, you will bow your head and scratch it and say, Lord, I think we need like 5 million naira for this. And two people will walk in and give you 5 million naira. I said, two people will walk in and give you 5 million. Are you getting my point? What am I emphasizing? That I told him that, listen, the issue is that you have the mind, that this is how preachers are supposed to think. I said, it's because you are thinking like that, that you are seeing that kind of demonstration of the power of God. That's where I'm going. I said, it's because you are thinking like that, that's why you are seeing that kind of demonstration of the power of God. Tell any political office holder you know that this is what God says. If you enter into office and pray the prayer of Solomon, there is nobody big enough that can gang up and remove you from that seat. Let them withdraw your security details. They will not be able to do anything against you. Let them plant bombs. It will explode upon them and upon their children. Are you getting the point I'm making? Are you getting the point I'm making? Why? Because, see, you know, it is not, people say, it's not what you ask for from God alone that you get. Many things you will get in life, you did not ask for them. What you just did was to do the work that is pleasing to God. You are getting the point I'm making? All you did was to do the work that is pleasing to God, and He will give you things far beyond what you ever imagined. Let me say it to you one more time, so I can leave it finally. It's not possible to tie any act of goodness to any specific reward. You can make commitments, like I do once in a while, that, Lord, this is the kind of thing I would like, but I have left it for you to do it for me. And this is what I am going to do, so that you will know that I have left that one. I don't know whether I get what I'm going to explain. For example, maybe you wanted to build... Hey, what can I give an illustration now? You were thinking of building a great business. Normally, you wake up early in the morning and go out late at night. Go come back home late at night. You go out early in the morning. After you have done that for 3 years, and you yourself have seen that that business has been going around in circles. Then one day you hear a correct gospel that says that only the Lord, all right, can do it for you. So you now say, Lord, eh? Now listen, you are not tying this act of good work to receiving. What you are just simply doing is saying that I'm forsaking my own strength. So Lord, from now, every morning, I will wake up, take my Bible, and read, and sing a few songs, and read a book, and I will not leave my house until it's 8 o'clock. And no midweek service will I miss in my church. Are you getting my point? I don't care whether Bill Gates wants to start a network of local Microsoft entrepreneurs and they gave him my name that Bill Gates is coming to see me. If he comes on, let's assume you are a Wednesday person or a Tuesday event, like we are here on Tuesday, say, hey, sorry, Brother Bill, pastor is preaching. You come after. And we say, already from $500 million for this project. They say, oh boy, I need peace of mind, long life and prosperity to enjoy that business. Don't be so. So this, let me go and get the long life, peace of mind, and prosperity first, spiritual prosperity, before I talk to you. You get what I'm saying? You make that kind of vow to God. It is not that, I mean, what have you done for Him, none of these things? Nothing. Those are the kind of things that I'm saying when I mean that you can make commitments to God, not as if you are doing the act of good works so as to get from Him, but you are saying that that one I have left it for you. Of course, no temptation. That's what they call temptation. The first day like this, show me no age, you say no will come out. 7:30, now your phone will ring. Your friend will say, oh boy, where you dey? He said, what thing they happen? At their house. They won't come out now. Who? The GM of that steel company that wants to supply those rods at 20% discount. Hey! Where is he going? Once he flies, he's going back to India. Yee. Okay, tell us how they come. He said, he's leaving the next 20 minutes. He said, I know they come out house at 8 o'clock. He said, what? Listen. Let me tell you ahead of time. It's called temptation. What did I call it?
Temptation.
Mm-hmm. And by nature, temptations are what?
Temptation.
Thank you. Temptations are tempting. Temptations are what? Tempting. That one. Tell. In fact, you know the best way to solve it. Tell the man, this is temptation. I have a law which is operational for the next 5 years that I'm not leaving this house until 8 o'clock. And you guys say, well, you don't lose them, but they say, yes, I know I don't lose them. Coins the phone. Some people say, Pastor Banky, as soon as I put off the phone, the Holy Spirit let me know that the flight will not take off till 10. Now, like, get there, 7:45, the flight left. You think it's every time God gives back Isaac? There are many people who took Isaac to the altar. God, they washed them. The knife came down. Say, God, you know, go tell me I stop. He said, no, no. You're not stopping. He said, wait, I'm about to cut his neck. He said, go ahead. That's why we came here. He said, the neck is bleeding. He said, go ahead. I'm about to read the carotid. Lord, what are you saying? I said, kill him. When the time of Abraham, you said he should take him and take a lamb. Did you forget to bring the lamb in the replacement? I'm going to read my book. Great faith can be yours. I said, sometimes Isaac die. They do. So don't think it's every time. I just told that man, I will not agree. And do you know, he still signed it. Most of the time, they won't sign it. You will not agree. The contract ain't coming out. Do you get my point? Don't think God, you know, God will just tease people. Hey, I was just playing with you. Nah, lie. No, he says, take. I just play. No. So don't try him. Don't think I'll just tell God that we obey. Then the point of obedience, I know he'll change his mind. Forget. He ain't changing his mind. And for information, Abraham was not counting on his changing his mind. That was why he changed his mind. Do you follow the point I'm making? You will refuse to go out, you will lose the first business that will appear as if that was the breakthrough. It's called temptation. It's called the trial of your faith, which is working out patience. He said, Lord, they said this man is going. I pray for him that he'll have a smooth flight and not have the power to tempt me again. It's a good prayer. And you continue. Once it's 8 o'clock, start getting ready to leave the house. What I'm trying to say is that you are doing those things not because, what have you done for the Lord directly? Nothing. But what you have done is that you have told him that, no, it's not my strength anymore. Any blessing you won't give me now, and I don't want it. That's why I have never understood. God prospers a man small. And then that's it. He disappears from where he used to hear the word of God. And I say, what happened? He said, oh God, I've been very busy. I might not talk first like that. There are different ways by which God responds. And I ask people, say, okay, all the years that Papa wanted to cripple you, what happened to you? Did you not survive? 2 hours. Once a week, suddenly you are too busy. Satan is very wicked, though. What did I say? He's very wicked. Don't play into his hands. And say, Pastor, I know. People make it look like you go to hear the word of God because you have nothing else to do. And like, And then the one that I told you used to make me laugh. People are going and preaching places. In Enugu here. They say, Pastor Bank, I was so blessed. I was so blessed by that ministration. Hallelujah. Where can I get your materials? Where can I get? Why did you leave Cosmo FM? I said, Cosmo FM left me. I didn't leave them. Okay, okay, okay. Why didn't you go to Repower? Why did you not go to ESBS? Why didn't you go to... I said, but wait, excuse me, sir. Do you live in Enugu or you come from Abakiliki to work in Enugu? He said, I live in Enugu here. There is a place called number 1A, Chime Avenue. Pastor Banky still preaches there every Saturday. Hey, what time? I said, 5 o'clock. Oh, 5 o'clock. Oh. 5 o'clock is when I wash my clothes. I hear all kinds of stupid things. I'm very busy during the week. That is when I go to market. I hear all kinds of worldly, satanic, and silly excuses. That's when they do the rich also cry. You hear things almost as silly as that. So I say, okay, yeah, you are really busy. You work bold and beautiful. You are really very busy. Or is it man you and asking that, oh, you are a very busy man. And I say, I should bring message on radio so it can come to your bedroom free of charge. You can't work, I come here. They make you look as if you go to hear the word of God out of nothing else to do. So when I say, where is your church? I want to come. My mind, even if I had a church, I don't want people like you. It's one of the reasons why I don't even like to pastor a church. You know why? I don't like people, you know, it's Sunday morning. I've seen people jump out from nightclub into short service. As my service is over, back into the nightclub, they boogie till morning. Because it's December 31st. I don't want. What am I saying? There are times you make sacrifices just to let the Lord know that I left that one so that you can take care of it. I've digressed plenty, I know. But I know where I started from. I know how I got to where I am. If you think I'm confused, I'm not confused. I know where I got to these places. I was emphasizing the fact that you can't tie good works to a particular reward. But there are times you just leave things for God to do and it appears as if your good works brought it to pass. No, that good work is just a reflection of the fact that I've left that one for God. And I started by stating the fact that prayer is work. And I went into explain the fact that, listen, you should not ever kill the potency of your seed by using that as a bargaining chip when you are praying. You pray based on mercy. You pray based on what? Grace. That's what you use. You use your faith. That's very good. Thank you for that. Faith, all right, produces grace. So based on your faith and based on your mercy, you come to God and you leave the rest. Now back to where I started the whole digression from. We're talking about prayer. That there's prayer with reward. When you pray prayers that are producing reward, answers that may not necessarily be directly beneficial to you, then what God gives you is a reward. I said sometimes because of the kind of matter that is up. Are you getting my point? Because it has to do with things beyond you yourself. It has to do with nations. It has to do with things much greater than an individual. Sometimes the answer cannot even come in one generation. But in that generation, God gives you a reward. After Jeremiah prayed and prayed, God said, I'll do one thing for you. I'll give you your life as a booty. And they will kill everybody around you. Nobody will be able to touch you. That I'm giving to you because of this agony of your soul concerning the matter that's going on. Do you get the point I'm making? Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, a man, Simeon by name, he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And God said, the only thing I will do for you as a reward, one day I will make you smile. What is it? I will let you see the salvation of God before you go on. The man was supposed to die before then. So God kept him alive. And the day he heard the boy cry, he said, now that thy servant can depart in peace. Are you getting my point? God just did that one for me. And listen, let me just tell you this. There are blessings that God will pour upon your descendants. There are great grandchildren that you see, in life, you don't know why God is blessing some people. You've decided that this guy, he should die. Lord, the soul that sinned, he shall die. But he said, but he's a grandson of a man who I swore to bless for the next 3 generations. One day, a man was analyzing some of the great industrialists in Nigeria for me. I don't know whether he was very accurate, but it gives you a very good idea what I'm talking about. He mentioned about 2 or 3 of them. You may not like them. You can say all kinds of things about them. There are names that when I mention, these are people that they control economies in Nigeria. And I tell you that his father was a catechist. To an average person, not discerning, you understand? You won't realize what that means. He was not a word man. He was just a catechist. But you too, be a catechist when everybody in your village was Noboni. You will know what it means to be a catechist. Try be a catechist when everybody is worshiping that one in the home video, Amadioha. Try it. Be a catechist then too. He may not have been a very powerful man as a catechist. He might have just been one lowly man riding his bicycle. But God ensured that he could push his children to those mission schools. And the blessing for being a catechist in the midst of idolatry came upon his children. Generations later, they put 10 million in their back pocket and they are not even born again. And you don't understand what's going on. You did not face idolatry as a catechist like their father did. And the Bible says houses and riches are from fathers. Fathers can leave houses and riches for their children. That's what I mean by reward. There are things people do. I told you before, people say that he got to Yongicho and go and learn the principles of building a 1 million man church. It is possible. Home sell. Go to Lagos. Home sell was armed robbers that were running them. As you are doing home sell today, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All the money in your pocket. Now I shoot somebody. After that, Bishop Oedipo closed home sell in Lagos. I don't do it again. There's no secret in home sell. Go and ask a Yongicho. I told that sometimes he himself does not know how. All the Bible says. When I read, there are things that were happening. My spiritual discernment would say, something is missing. Then later I heard about, I think, Assemblies of God or one church that for decades and maybe 100 years before he was born, they were praying for that country. They plowed the land, harrowed it, sowed the seeds. Then when he came in, Jesus said, other men labored, but you have come into the harvest. You have entered into their labor. So he said, arise. The harvest is plenty. The laborers are few. Let me teach you a few principles to gather in the harvest that other men labored for years ago. But those who do understand, they come and say, it's home sale. His home cell. They finish that. They say it is by using technology. We start fooling ourselves. When the true work done, nobody did it at that time. There was no CNN, and CNN does not report to those who are praying at home. You know that? How many times have you seen today we are doing a special program on spiritual undertone movement, undercurrent in yet to be revivaled? You like my English there? In areas that revival is yet to happen. You never seen them like that on Al Jazeera or CNN or even on TBN. They don't know. All they show is the one going on the surface. And the one that God rewards openly is done where? In the closet, where no TV cameras are to be found. And where God even put a commandment, thou shalt not invite a TV cameraman into your prayer zone. I've told you, when you see Nigeria prays, eh? It's good though. If they say you should come, you two join. But hear this. That's not the answer. That's not the prayer God is answering. He said, Pastor, how do you know? Because it's been prayed in the open. It's on TV. It's on television. It's on newspapers. Government is sponsoring. They are releasing cars to go and carry Nigerian praise. Government is signing checks to support Nigerian praise. You should know that God is not answering that prayer. The one he's answering, some of them don't speak English. The one is answering, some of them never left their villages. The one is answering, some of them are primary school teachers. Who after everybody has gone home, they will just bow their heads on their lockers. The one is answering, some of them are civil servants. All they've carried all their lives is files. They're members of SU. You don't know. The one is answering. They will just enter toilet at 12 o'clock. You think they won't go easy and say, nah, nah. They have a covenant with God at 12 o'clock every day, 12 o'clock, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. when everybody has gone to go and eat lunch at 1, that's when they go for one small fellowship in the office. And they join their hands, bow their heads, and cry to God for the nation. You will never, ever find it on the pages of the newspaper. Never. Except you know the theory behind it that we are discussing. You will never know it happened. God doesn't look, like I told you, some of those people, all he will bless is their children. Every child they have will just be intelligent. They will be in the midst of bomb exploding. Wham! They will come out of the center and say, Kai, you almost burned my cloth. And they look and find that 18 people are dead. And their own is like, hey, and last week I just dry cleaned this suit. Why? Because his father prays and God swore to him that you will never cry on any of your children. That's what they call reward. Or the one that they put on television, a national coordinator of the Redeemed Prayer and Incorporated Christian Assembly, distributing the modern day anointing. And you wear one long cap and say, it shall be well with Nigeria. You should just know God is not answering that prayer. And if you're a preacher, when you see a reporter, disappear. There's one man I saw on TV. I said, this guy is a fake pastor. Is backsliding and he needs repentance. They showed him picture, chaka, sitting beside the swimming pool in his expensive mansion in the Koyi, or is he in VI? What apostle was he, prophet? So they mentioned his name. What he wears, is it the to go pose like Michael Jackson? And I read through the interview. I didn't see the Lord be praised in one place. All I saw is, oh, my suits. Sometimes people go abroad, and when they are coming back, they know the kind of suits I wear. They know the kind of suits I wear. No, my watches, they are Bulgaris. And Rolex, Patek Philippe, Audemars Piguet, you know. Perfume, as a man of God, your radiance. I said, this guy is a fake pastor. Or he's backsliding, he does not know. They now give you 3 pages in the newspaper. Once you see it like that, just know your anointing is about to go, you're about to die. And they start, if they photograph you without your knowing, I'm not the vex. For you to not sit down, praise God. This is the dining table. It was made in Italy. Hallelujah. And city people put you inside. You should know that something is wrong with your head. And I've digressed into that one. I just like to warn people, because sometimes madness has crept into our souls. We don't realize. It's insidious. So gently. And I say, God, the glory of God. He said, right now, God's glory is being shown. Can you see? Last time in the government house, we were amongst the people praying for the bishop. For the governor, hallelujah. Yes. Me too, I'm now driving an Armada, amen. Infiniti QX65. The glory of God would never allow me to drive anything less than the newest model. So I change my car every year. And this is the page of newspaper. You should know you should go on retreat. The one I'm making anyway is that the prayers that God answers are not necessarily the one we see on the pages of newspapers. Let me just tell you, what should you use media for if you're a preacher? Use them to preach. That's it. Don't even bother expressing your political views. They will twist it out of context. You won't love yourself after. If it's television, say it must be a live program. And I want to preach. If the man is going to harass you, say, you see, Jesus has overcome the devil. By the time you say 3 times, they'll cut the program. The evil spirit in him won't let him rest. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Really, I hope you are blessed today. If you are blessed, say amen. Amen. Say another amen to encourage me now. Wait. God bless you very much. The thing I wanted to preach, really, I will get into it next time. I wanted to get on talking about that will. You know, the center of prayer is always the will of God. And I wanted to just explain that. Prayer is not about fighting enemies. It's not about making yourself happy. Though in the process, enemies will be overcome, amen, and you will be happy, amen. But the central matter of prayer is the will of God. And like we say all the time, we're talking about the sayings of God. God has a will concerning everything. He said,
he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things." The elder John was speaking, and he was speaking the mind of God, having been a Christian for all those years and having been personally taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers." We pray that into existence because that is the will of God. Not because we desire health. Not because we desire prosperity primarily. Though it's good, we desire it. But because we know it is the will of God. We know it's the will of God that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. We know it's the will of God. When you hear me say all the time that anybody who rises up, it's all this shouting, Boko Haram, Boko Haram. You understand? It's when you want to cast out evil spirits, they get violent. At the end of all of this, Islam won't raise his mouth to talk again. Because the earth must be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. That's what prayer is about. Prayer is not about what I like or what you like. Prayer is about what? The will of God. That's why every Christian... Look, he said, draw near. Or when you are drawing near, he said, watch your steps when you come near to the temple. Draw near to do what? To listen. Otherwise, all you will be doing is offering up the sacrifices of fools. And that's the unfortunate part. A lot of things we do in life, in my opinion, the most important book I ever wrote is the one titled How to Work for God. Because a lot of Christians are offering up the sacrifices of fools. People stay up all night. Are you getting my point? Offering up the sacrifices of fools. Why? They did not bother to draw near to listen. Prayer is about the will of God. That's why we must draw near first to listen. We'll continue into that next time. If you're blessed today, shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
All right, let's just bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.